tears reveal repentance in the heart. When you're on your knees and your tears are coming uncontrollably and you're asking God to forgive you, when you realize what Jesus did for you on the cross.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Pierced One and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The Pierced One, our key verse, Zechariah 12:10. I'm reading out of the ESV, him whom they have pierced. Everybody want to turn to that and say amen if you got your Bibles out? Praise God. The Pierced One, Zechariah 12:10 ESV, under the title of Him Whom They Have Pierced. Talking about Jesus. Now, this is Old Testament before Jesus came. That means it was a prophecy. It means that somebody saw it coming before it happened. Amen? That means God gave somebody a vision. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace. Everybody say grace. Like you mean it. Like you want it. Amen. And please for mercy. Anybody ever plead for mercy? Anybody ever just get on your knees and plead for mercy from God? If you have it, you better start. You better start. He's a merciful God, but you got to ask for it. So that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. Heavenly Father, we pray, O God, that you will open our hearts to receive your word today. God, I pray that you will anoint me to speak your words. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, guys, listen to this. This was prophecy in the Old Testament. This was foretelling Jesus Christ. So let's look at this. The gifts of grace and prayer are for believers. It's not for those who do not believe. They don't get it. They're not allowed to have it. It's not given to them unless they ask through faith and belief. We get it. It's ours. Grace and prayer are for believers. You got something in Christ that other people who don't have Christ have. Amen. These are valuable tools because grace saves and prayer moves. Am I right? Prayer moves God. The unbeliever doesn't get to pray to God. The unbeliever doesn't get grace. He's on his own. He's struggling through life and he's going to be burning in hell. I'm sorry to say it. You don't have Jesus. You don't have the Father. The gifts of grace and prayer are for believers. These great gifts are bestowed on all, a couple, all? Man, God is generous. Bestowed on all who don't believe. Oh, believe. Just make sure you guys are paying attention. Who believe. Man, that belief is a big word. It's kind of hard to believe sometimes, isn't it? It's kind of rough, isn't it? Isn't it kind of hard to believe sometimes? But not when you see the grace of God in your life. Not when God opens up your heart because you prayed for forgiveness. Grace is unmerited favor with God. Everybody say unmerited. What does that mean? It means I can't buy it. I can't buy grace from God, can I? Can I trade him something for it? I can't. Can I make a deal with him? No. So I can't buy it. Oh, I could be a good person. I could be a better person than everybody else. You mean I could be a slob wearing raggedy clothes, walking in the church with dirty blue jeans because I can't wash my clothing and come in and get on my knees and say, God, forgive me, and he'll do that? Is that what grace really means? Wow. Unbelievable. Well, this sounds pretty good. I think I'm going to keep on. Okay, so grace is unmerited favor with God. Prayer is the privilege of communicating with God. I'm privileged. Everybody say I'm privileged. Because I get to talk to God Almighty. The unbeliever can't. They're not allowed. He turns his back to the sinner. He doesn't listen to them. Before I was saved, I used to feel that God wasn't listening to my prayers. And I was right. He doesn't listen to the sinner. He turns his back on the sinner. The regrets of rejection are for unbelievers. When you reject Jesus Christ, you have a regret. And if you don't repent, you will always have that regret from here to eternity. But listen, the believers don't have the regrets, do we? Because we got the belief. Here, in this verse that we talked about in Zechariah, are people who had spurned salvation. They didn't want it. And they realized they were lost. Now they look back with regret over the rejection of Christ. Amen. So why all this mourning over the pierced one? What's the big deal? What's going on here that everybody's so sad? Because they missed the pierced one as being God in the flesh, coming down to die for our sins. Point number one, these mourners realize who they have rejected. They realize it. Matthew 27:54, when the centurion and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. They realized it. They must have had regret because they had just got done executing Jesus. They just got done murdering the Son of God. And when they saw the signs and the wonders, they realized who they pierced. And they mourned. And they were filled with awe. And they knew. They had rejected the gift of God's love. Many of us go through life and reject the gift. Everybody say gift. The gift of God's love. We think we can earn our way to heaven. We think we can walk our way right to it. We think we can build the Tower of Babel and reach heaven on our own. Because we're rejecting the gift. It's so easy to believe if we just ask God that we may receive. Amen. Christ had come as the Savior for sinners, not the good people. Not the great person next door that has all the nice cars, nice furniture, and nice house. He'll save them too. But that's not the only person he came for. He came for the person that's the sinner. Gee, that makes all of us, doesn't it? He had come to offer forgiveness and eternal life. You got to have forgiveness before you get the eternal life. You got to come to God and tell him, I'm sorry for what I've done, and I want forgiveness for it. And I know that your grace is bigger than my sin. And you will receive that forgiveness, and that forgiveness leads to eternal life. Yet, They had chosen rebellion instead of redemption. Rebellion. I want to live my life the way I want to live it. And God and the church and the pastor and the ministers there and the people there cannot tell me how I'm going to live my life. I'm a rebel. They had chosen rebellion instead of redemption. That's why they're mourning over the pierced one. When we come to ourselves after rebellion against God, remember how it was for you when God showed you your sin. Remember how you mourned. Remember how your eyes filled with tears. When you see a worshiper crying, it's because he realized what Jesus had to do to save them. It's a shame that God had to die for us because we chose sin over the living God. So he had to make it right because he's a just God. He had to give the most precious thing he had to give, his son Jesus. And believe me, that's a joyous story and that's a sad story all in the same, isn't it? Isn't it? They realized God had sent his only son to justify sinners, Romans 5 verses 8 and 9. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, you're not saved after you clean up your life. You're saved in the middle of your sin. While we were still sinning, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified, say justified, by his blood, much more shall be saved by him. Much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Listen, when we sin, we break God's law. When we break God's law, there's a penalty to pay. And God requires bloodshed. He says, if you sin, you will surely die. Separation from him. But Jesus' blood spilled on Calvary, the death of Christ, is the payment that we give to God for our sins. And he paid that debt. He's not even asking you to do it today. He's asking you to receive what he's already done for you. Yet, they had despised and rejected him to the point that they murdered him, hung him on a cross. Isaiah 53:3, he was despised and rejected by men. See, y'all thought that Jesus was real popular, didn't you? He was, to those who saw who he was. But he was hated by even more. And he's hated today. Go to work and start preaching Jesus. Depends on where you work. You work at a church, you get away with it. Go to the secular world. Go out there and start saying, I love Jesus. Go preach to some of your coworkers who don't want to hear about it. They'll not only say that they hate him, but they'll start saying that they hate you too. Because they'll start treating you like they hate you. You'll start getting persecuted. Yet they had despised and rejected him. Isaiah 53:3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Him and grief were buddies. They were friends because they knew one another real well. He was acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Ooh, when I used to work at this call center and I would preach the word of God, people would hide their faces from me because I would walk in with Jesus around me and people would be turning their back. They didn't want me to go to lunch with them because I'd be preaching. They didn't want me hanging out at the water cooler with them because I'd be preaching. Because they hated him, they're going to hate me. Because they hated him, they're going to hate you. If you got people who are not saved, who don't hide their faces from you when you preach about Jesus, you ain't preaching right. You ain't convicting them. You don't have the Holy Spirit talking through you. Because my Jesus, people hid their faces from him. My Jesus was despised. My Jesus was rejected. Ministry is a hard walk. For anybody who wants to get into it, remember, you're going to wear the clothing of our Savior. You're going to look like him. You're going to walk like him. You're going to act like him, I hope. And when you do, you're going to be treated like him. The world's going to hate you. This is not a glory job. And we esteemed him not. A man that did all these miracles and nobody gave him the esteem he deserved. The man that died for us and nobody gave him esteem. They had persecuted the Prince of Peace. Persecuted. Attacked him viciously. Slandered him. Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And they persecuted him. They persecuted him. These mourners that Zechariah speaks of, they remember their response. Luke 7:30. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves. When you remember your response to when you first heard the gospel and you rejected it, and you realize who God is, you'll mourn. You'll mourn when you're ready to repent, because you'll remember your response initially. Anybody following me? Everybody following me. You get what I'm saying? When you look back, Christ had come to reconcile them to God. While they were guilty, he had offered them grace. Everybody say, I'm guilty. Everybody say, I got grace. See, you guys didn't do anything. Jesus did it all. He had offered them grace while they deserved death. He had died for them. Now, you can't get a better deal than that, can you? You deserve to die, and Jesus took your place. What a nice guy. What a great God. No wonder we praise him. No wonder we mourn him for the sufferings that he had to endure to save us. He had wept over their sins and sorrows. He's the one crying over our sins. Should be us. But Jesus wept. Even on the cross, he had prayed for their forgiveness. How many of you guys pray for your enemies in the midst of them doing you wrong? They're still doing it to you. And you're praying for them? Luke 23:34, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was nailed to a cross. Prior to that, he was beaten to a bloody pulp with a mock crown of thorns placed on his head, stripped naked and hammered to a cross. And they were mocking him on that cross, and he was praying for them. Third, mourners often repent. Mourners often repent. Now, this is the important part. It's all important. But let's get your ears open. Isaiah 6 and 5. And I said, woe is me. This is Isaiah. Woe is me, for I am lost. See, he's starting to realize something, isn't he? He's starting to mourn. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When your eyes are opened by the Holy Spirit and you see the King of all kings, when you see the Savior and you realize who you're looking upon, you realize that you've got something to be mourning about. Your sin. Woe. Woe is me, Isaiah said, when he had the vision of the coming Christ, because he knew something that other people of his time didn't know, that God was worthy of his praise, that Christ was the Savior. And he realized, he saw that he was unclean in the presence of the all-perfect God. And he mourned, and he repented. Tears are often part of repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. I asked a fellow one time, what'd you learn about the cops getting you? He said, I learned not to get caught. That's worldly grief. I learned not to get caught. It means he's going to do it again, but he's going to do it a little bit better. And that leads to death because the sin continues on. But when we have godly grief, it produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret. Because we know that our sins are washed away. And there's no regret in that. We know that Jesus saved us despite of ourselves. There's no regret in that. Praise God. Tears reveal repentance in the heart. When you're on your knees and your tears are coming uncontrollably and you're asking God to forgive you, it's because you are mourning. When you realize what Jesus did for you on the cross, you realize how much he loved you, and the tears will start to flow because you realize what he had to endure for you. Why would he do that? I always ask God, why would you want to save me? I don't even want to be around me half the time. Why do you want me eternally? Let's be honest. Some of us don't even like ourselves, do we? We want everybody else to like us, but we don't even like ourselves. And we wonder why God wants to spend time with us, that he would send his only one and begotten son to die for us. When you figure out that he loves you that much, well, I don't know about you, but it brings tears to my eyes because I'm not worthy. Repentance is turning around and doing an about face. So when you come to Christ, you're perfect? Sure you are, in the eyes of God. All of your sins have been washed clean. That was a trick question. But do you do perfectly? No. Is that an excuse? No. Repentance is saying, you know what, God? I'm tired of looking away at the free gift of Jesus. I'm going to look at you, and I'm going to look at the cross, and I'm going to see what you've done for me on Calvary. And I'm going to believe, and I'm going to repent from blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Because that is the one unforgiven sin, isn't it? When you continue to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you never receive the Holy Spirit. You never receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You never receive Christ. You repent from that sin, and all these other sins will be washed away along with it. Amen? Because now you are covered in the blood of Jesus. Now you are covered. And if that doesn't make you cry, I don't know what will. Mourning leads to conviction. And conviction leads to confession of sins. When you start mourning over what you did, you start being convicted of what you did. And when you start being convicted of what you did, you start confessing what you did. I'm sorry, God, that I got a filthy mouth. I'm sorry, God, that I do these things. And you start naming them off to them because you know that you've been convicted and God has washed it clean. Amen. Finally, we face the pierced prince and cry out for forgiveness. When that conviction is full and done with, you face God and you face the pierced one and you realize he died for you. You've mourned the fact that you've rejected him. You've mourned the fact that you continued on in your sin and your rebellion, and you face the pierced one and you cry out for forgiveness and you say, please, God, forgive me. And I know you will, not because I deserve it. Not because I'm a good person, not because I worked extra hours at work, not because I showed up at church every time I needed to be there, but because Jesus died for me, because Jesus was pierced for me, and not of my own works, but of grace. And you cry that out to him, and he says, there's one of my children. There's one of my repentant children. One of my children who believes in my son, who are now adopted into the kingdom. Through faith, not by works, but by repentance and belief through forgiveness of Jesus Christ. So what is your response to the love of Christ revealed at the cross? What is your response? Many people hear the gospel every day. Many people go to church and hear the gospel every weekend. But what is your response? Have you mourned the pierced one? Have you gotten down to your knees and have cried out for forgiveness? Or have you just sat in the pews and heard the message? What is your response to the love of Christ revealed at the cross? Without the cross, we can't see the love. The cross defines the love. What he suffered for us to be with us. Are you resisting the pleading prince? Are you resisting him today? Are you still rebelling? Or have you chosen to mourn as you look upon the pierced one? Will you turn from your rejection to receiving him as Savior? Will you turn from that today? If you've been sitting in the pews and listening to the message, but never quite surrendering, will you do that today?
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.